Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, we are still in our series on why Jesus came. And we're answering that question by using Jesus' own words in Scripture as to why he came. And today we're going to be in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for the specific words of Jesus. We've used this verse earlier in the series because he really gives two reasons. It says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." And we've already talked about that. But then today I want to focus on the last part of what Jesus said, because he says the Son of Man came, talking about himself, to give his life as a ransom for many. And as we think about Jesus coming and giving his life as a ransom for many, and we've sung some songs this morning that really help us focus on that, I want you to be very aware of something. I think you probably already are, but I want to make sure that you are aware that a key word in that verse is the word give. That Jesus said that he gives his life. That no one took Jesus' life. Jesus gave his life. And he even talked about that in John chapter 10. He said, "The reason my Father loves me is that I laid down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I have received from my Father." Nobody took Jesus' life. Jesus gave his life. And if you're following along in your outline that's there in your bulletin, Jesus' death was Jesus' choice. Jesus' death was Jesus' choice. See, the cross was not a surprise to Jesus. The cross and Jesus' death wasn't a plan that went wrong. Jesus was not the victim of circumstance. Jesus was in complete control of a plan that had been set in motion before the foundation of the world. Jesus came to give his life. I want you to hear what is said in Hebrews chapter 10. This is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God. And then there's going to be quotes from the Old Testament. "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings." Again, Jesus. "But you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings and other offerings for sin. And then I said, 'Look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures.'" See, Jesus was given a body, and he was given a body for one purpose. He was given a body so that he could offer that body back to God on our behalf. And it was talked about in the scriptures. And we read from Isaiah this morning as one place where, as Jeff said so correctly, that prophesied hundreds of years before the details of Jesus offering his body. The scriptures told what the plan was. And Jesus came and he fulfilled the plan. Jesus' death was Jesus' choice. And so I want us to look this morning at just three of the many blessings that we receive the many reasons that Jesus chose to give his life. And the first one is this. Jesus chose to give his life to pay our debts for us. Jesus chose to give his life to pay our debts for us. And I made this one number one because the Apostle Paul says this is of first importance. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. See, at the core of the gospel is the truth. At the core of the good news of Jesus is the truth that he came to give us forgiveness of sins. He came to pay the debt for our sin. I just want us, consistently, Scripture witnesses to this. I want us to read two passages that remind us of this truth, but it's all through Scripture. Romans chapter 3. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. You can't be much more clear than that. Why did Jesus come? He came to forgive us of our sins so that we can be made right with God. It's God's desire that we would be right with him. And Jesus is the one who made it possible. Peter wrote about this in 1 Peter chapter 2. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, we are healed. Jesus gave his life as a sin offering so people could be right with God. Sin separates us from God. God is that holy, and sin is that bad. And the essence of sin is when we put ourselves where God is supposed to be. That's the essence of sin. When we put ourselves where God is supposed to be. But the essence of the cross is when God put himself where we were supposed to be. And while Jesus was on that cross, people mocked him. And they said, yeah, you saved others, but you can't even save yourself. Which, that mocking was just identifying this dilemma that heaven had. Because Jesus could have saved himself and got off the cross. But he could only save you if he stayed on it. Jesus chose to give his life, to pay our debt, and to forgive our sins. And for this, blood was required. I want you to hear Hebrews chapter 9. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He's entered the greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world, with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves. He entered the most holy place once and for all time and secured our redemption forever. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls, the ashes of a heifer, could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. But just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed, for without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. There was a preacher a little over a century ago. Harry Ironside was his name, and he had an illustration that he used to talk about the blood. And there had been, in that day, a really horrific train accident. A commuter train. We don't have those anymore, but it was full of people. A commuter train had stalled on the tracks. But coming down that line was a heavy freight train. And so they sent word out to communicate to the freight train to stop. But the freight train did not stop. And the freight train plowed into the commuter train and killed a whole lot of people. And that was a big event that had happened. And Harry Ironside, this preacher, used the illustration. Because as they investigated the accident, they found out there was a miscommunication. And this was before the days of electronic communication. What they did on the train lines was they communicated with flags. And a yellow flag meant slow down, and a red flag meant stop. And they asked the engineer, why didn't you stop? And he said, because they waved a yellow flag. So they went for the folks who waved the flags. And they said, no, we waved the red flag. And they said, let's see it. Well, the flag was so old, and it was so faded that it looked yellow. And Harry Ironside, in his illustration, to make his point, would say, don't follow a yellow gospel. Because the gospel isn't good news unless it's red. There's something about the blood of Jesus. It forgives our sins. It washes us clean. It makes us right with God. It gives us life. And so let's take a few moments and let's just reflect and remember that Jesus gave his body and Jesus shed his blood. Well, we've spent some good time focusing on what Jesus did and on why he came. I want to take a little bit of time now to talk about how that affects you and me today. What kind of implications does it have on our life? The fact that Jesus came to give his life for us. The fact that Jesus came and allowed himself to die up on the cross. Paul said that's of first importance, and it shapes everything about our life if we are a disciple of Jesus. And so the second thing this morning is that Jesus chose to give his life to show the way for us. Jesus is the way. And he's not just the way to the Father in the term of salvation. He is that, but Jesus is the way that we live. He showed us the way that we walk on this earth. And it has implications, again, for every part of our life. Paul said it this way in Galatians chapter 2, I've been crucified with Christ, and now I no longer live. I've been crucified with Christ. Now I no longer live. But Christ, he lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. And so we live what is called a crucified life. Because Jesus was crucified, we live a crucified life. And because he chose to go to the cross, It means a number of things for me. Because he chose to go to the cross, it means I don't have a choice as to whether I'm a racist or not. See, I grew up steeped in a lot of racism, but I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. And God says in Ephesians chapter 2 that when Jesus came, he destroyed the barriers between the races. He destroyed the wall that divided us, a wall of hostility. So I can't be a racist and live a crucified life. Because Jesus chose the cross means you don't get to choose how you will use your sexuality. See, the world says it's yours and you can do with it what you want to. The world says you can choose who you want to be. The world says you can choose who you want to be with. But God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that you are not your own, but you were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And so you can't choose to use your sexuality however you want and live a crucified life. See, because he chose to go to the cross, I don't get to choose how I use my money. The Lord has really been convicting me of this lately. Convicting me about greed and about generosity. And God says in Acts chapter 20 that it is better to give than it is to receive. And so you can't use your money any way you want and live a crucified life. So you can't, because Jesus chose to go to the cross, you can't choose to retaliate. When someone hurts you and that instinct in you wants to hurt them back, wants to get them back, wants to make sure that they pay, when that family member who hurt you in the past, you keep bringing it up and dragging it back up. God says in Ephesians chapter 4 to forgive each other just as Christ has forgiven you. So you can't hold on to grudges and live a crucified life. Because Jesus chose to go to the cross, you don't get to choose whether you submit in your marriage. Marriage is about mutual submission. Just as Christ submitted himself to his Father, just as the church submits ourselves to Christ. God says in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And so you can't put yourself first in your marriage and live a crucified life. Because Jesus chose to give his life on the cross means that if I say that I follow him, that I make my decisions based on the cross. There was a Christian minister in East Germany. When East Germany was separated from West Germany by a wall, when it was under communist dictatorship, Hugh Homer. It sounds very English, but I'm sure it's said differently in German, but I'm going to call him Hugh Homer. He was a Christian minister in East Germany. He had a number of children, and every single one of those children, when they became of age to go to university and applied to go to university, were rejected. And it was clear that they were being rejected because their father was a minister for Jesus Christ. And Erich Honecker, he was the dictator of East Germany. His wife, Margot, she was the education minister, and they were the ones who every single time rejected this minister's children's application to go to university. But then the wall fell, and the communist dictatorship fell, and Honecker was kicked out of his palace, and all of his cronies fled and turned on him, and literally, Honecker and his wife were on the streets. And Hugh Homer, this Christian minister, he went and he found them and he invited them into his home. And for 10 weeks, in the middle of all that turmoil and chaos as everything was breaking free, this former communist dictator lived in his house. And this husband and wife who had rejected these applications for university ate at the table with those children they had denied. And Homer was asked, why in the world would you do this? Why would you take them in? And he said that he followed Jesus. And since Jesus gave his life for his enemies, the least he could do is give his house to his enemies. See, he lived a crucified life because Jesus chose to give his life. It changes the choices that we make. And then the last thing I want us to think about this morning is Jesus gave his life. He chose to give his life to prove that God is for us. And I really hope, if you've been kind of tuning me out this morning, that you will listen in right now. Because some of you really, really need to hear this. Jesus chose to give his life to prove that God is for us. And we have an enemy who whispers constantly to us that God is against us. We have an enemy who whispers constantly to us that surely God doesn't love us. That accuses us and says, if he only knew, and he does, then he wouldn't love you. An enemy who whispered to Adam and Eve and is still whispering to us, you can't really trust God. You can't really count on God. And I heard someone say this week that most of us have no problem believing in the miracles of God, but we have a problem believing in the love of God. And I thought, well, I don't really understand that. But then it makes sense, because if I said to you, was Jesus born of a virgin? You would say, yes. If I said to you, did Jesus walk on water? You would say, yes. If I said to you, did Jesus rise from the grave? And you would say, yes. But to too many Christians, when I say, does God absolutely adore and love you, you would hesitate to say yes. You would say, I hope so. And I think we have such a hard time understanding and accepting and embracing how much God loves us, because all of the love that we know and experience in this world is conditional love. God is the only one who loves us unconditionally. And Jesus gave his life to prove it to you. Because honestly, what more could heaven do to prove how much God loves you? That's what Romans 5 says. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die while we were still sinners. 1 John 4 says, this is what real love is. It is not our love for God. It is God's love for us. He sent his son to die in our place because he loved us. Romans 8, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else. I want you to hear me say this morning, and I want you to stand up as we say it. Would you please stand? I want you to hear me say this morning that God is for us, and it is why Jesus came, because God is for us. God, who is enthroned in heaven, who is majestic and beautiful and powerful and is surrounded by angels and heavenly creatures who cry out day in and day out that He is holy. God is for us. I want you to hear me say that God is for us, not that He was for us, not that He will be for us, not that He might be if we're good enough, but God is for us. And I want you to hear me say that God is for us. He's not neutral about us. He is not against us. He is not still deciding about us. He is not waiting for us to get our act together. God is for us. And I want you to hear me say that God is for us. He's not for other people. He's not for some of us. He's not just for the best of us. God is for all of us. I want you to say it with me. God is for us. And it is why Jesus came. To prove it to you. That He loves you. And that He is for you. And our confidence in the love of God is never about us. Our confidence in the love of God is never about how good we are. It's never about how much we obey. It's not about anything about us. Our confidence in the fact that God is for us is in Jesus Christ. And it is in the fact that He gave His life on the cross. And I want you to get that down deep in your soul. I want you to get that down deep in your mind. I want your heart to know that God is for us. And I want it to change your life. And so He chose to give His life. And I want to ask you to make a choice this morning. And every one of you have a different kind of choice to make this morning. For some of you, it may be a choice to finally decide that you are going to become a follower of Jesus. And you're going to put your faith in Him. And you're going to submit your life to Him in baptism. And He is going to wash your sins away. And you're going to start living a crucified life. That's the choice that some in this room need to make. Some of you just need to repent. You've given your life to God, but you've not been living a crucified life. And you know, right now, you know the areas in your life that you need to repent of. And this morning is a time that you can do that, to renounce that sin, to repent and come back to Jesus, because He gave His life for you. You can choose this morning to give your life back to Him. Some of you may just decide, you know what, I want to be a better follower. I want to be a better disciple. I want to get with a group of folks who are also trying to do that. And we've got those kind of groups available. And you come and find me this morning and we'll get you connected with them. But whatever choice you need to make this morning, this is a time to do it. Because He chose to give His life.